Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are...
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Men's Philanthropy Division of the Jewish Federation of Greater Pittsburgh featured actor, director, producer, and New York Times best-selling author Henry Winkler as the speaker at its second annual Men's Night Out event. Henry Winkler is best known for playing Arthur Fonzarelli, the Fonz, on the television sitcom Happy Days, as well as for his appearances on popular shows such as Arrested Development and Parks and Recreation. I had a chance to sit down with Mr. Winkler and talk about his Jewish upbringing and identity, as well as his philanthropic work, inspired by his struggle throughout his education due to his dyslexia, and other aspects of his life and career. Henry Winkler, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
I'm so happy to be here. I love Pittsburgh. And I love Pittsburgh because my best friend in the whole world is from Pittsburgh, and I have just assumed it as my third city.
Well, we're glad to hear that. We take a lot of pride in those very comments that you just made. You are in Pittsburgh as the featured speaker at the Jewish Federation of Greater Pittsburgh's second annual Men's Night Out event. Talk about the importance of men's philanthropy, how men can make an impact in a city like Pittsburgh.
It is vital that we learn from an early age how to give back. And every time I've come to Pittsburgh, I have been treated with an enormous amount of generosity. Generosity of spirit, generosity of a great pizza, generosity of just wonderful humanness. I've been here for so many different kinds of events. The philanthropy, not just of men, but of men and women, children, is a community does not function unless there is giving back. That is the simplest way I can put it.
You have done an extraordinary amount of philanthropic work inspired by your own struggle growing up with dyslexia. A lot of people might have kept that to themselves, but you have shared your stories and you've worked to find ways to help others, raising money for dyslexia research. Why was it important for you to do that?
Well, let me just say that I didn't know it was important. All I was doing was telling my story. I didn't know that other people weren't talking about it. And then it turns out that everybody has somebody with a challenge. The most important thing that I think I want to communicate is that children are not defined by their challenge. They are defined by their own power, by their greatness. So that, I've distilled it down to that being my most, if I was going to say one thing to somebody, a young person, that's what it would be.
Your dyslexia was not diagnosed until later in life. And I'm wondering what it was like for you when you finally learned exactly what was going on.
The first thing when I found out I was 31, and my oldest son, my stepson, Jed, was diagnosed in the third grade. So the first thing that happened was I got angry. I thought, oh my goodness, all of that yelling and screaming and grounding and punishment was for nothing. Then I thought, ooh, wait a minute. Now I know I have something without, with a name. This is very exciting. And then I thought, I'm not stupid. I'm not lazy. I'm not trying to be a problem child. I have something with a name.
How did you work around that? And if my math is correct, when you were diagnosed, you'd already made it big as an actor. You were already playing Fonzie.
Yes.
So you had gotten to that point. You figured out a way to be a success in life. You went to Yale Drama School.
Right.
How were you able to do that, all that?
I have will. If you know what you want, you just keep moving toward your imagination, your dream. And you know, I see myself as that toy with sand at the bottom. I get punched, I fall down, I get up, and I just keep moving. And and that is the difference between the making and the not making it, is your tenacity, is your will.
Did you find yourself feeling especially fortunate because once you knew all of this, you were in a position where you could do a great deal?
I never thought of it. Honest, I never thought of it. I've written 31 novels for children from second grade to fifth grade. They're funny. Kids say, hey, how did you know me so well? I had no idea. Originally, I started doing it because I was having trouble being cast as an actor because I was the Fonz, so I was being typecast. So I branched out and I tried something I thought I could never do. And look what it turned out to be. It's an amazing thing. The older books are now a TV show on the BBC. Out of just, and there was no altruism. I was not thinking, oh, I'm going to help people. All I thought was I'll make them laugh and let me try and see if I can do this.
So you end up raising awareness through your children's novels entitled Hank Zipser, the World's Greatest Underachiever. Right. How did you create that character?
Hank is short for Henry. Zipser was a woman who lived on the fourth floor of my apartment building growing up in New York City. I thought it was a zippy name. And what we did was we wrote it funny first. I have a wonderful writing partner, Lynn Oliver. And I work in her office for the last 12 years. And we work out the story. And when I come to a moment when Hank is having trouble with something in his life, not being able to read numbers, not being able to read or spell, not being able to do math, I remember what it was like. I start talking. Lynn types. Lynn has an idea. She types. I wait. And then we argue over every word.
I love the quote that I read from you where, and I could identify with this myself because I struggled with math and geometry.
Yes.
And you said, you made the statement about, you know, I've never used the word hypotenuse.
Oh, this is what I said. I took geometry for 4 years, same course. Summer school, regular school, just on infinitum. Same course. Didn't pass it for 4 years. And what I said was, when I finally got a D minus in it and I finally passed it, I finally got my diploma from high school. That was 1963. Today, in November of 2015, not one human being has ever said the word hypotenuse to me. And I thought, what were they thinking? First of all, I've never used it. Second of all, I didn't need it. Third of all, I felt horrible. Fourth of all, we have got to find out what makes every student individually great and help them meet their destiny. That's what we should be doing as an educational system.
How gratifying has it been for you, Henry, to receive recognition like an OBE, an Order of the British Empire from Queen Elizabeth, recognition from B'nai B'rith, among other honors?
It is. Every time I get an award, I am always shocked. I love them. I love my awards. I keep them. I look at them. I am always amazed that this kid, who was told he would never achieve, has been recognized by these wonderful organizations and wonderful people.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is actor, director, producer, and bestselling author Henry Winkler, who played Fonzie on the television show Happy Days, as well as other film and TV roles on popular shows such as Arrested Development and Parks and Recreation. I mentioned, Henry, to a younger female colleague of mine that I was going to be interviewing you, and she said, oh, I would love to meet Henry Winkler. And I replied, so you want to meet the Fonz? And she said, no! I want to meet Barry Zuckerkorn.
Yes. Barry Zuckerkorn, one of the worst lawyers ever written in the history of entertainment. He doesn't know his sexuality. He doesn't know the law. I don't know how he makes a living, but somehow he has duped the Bluth family into hiring him.
Are more people recognizing you these days for characters you have played since The Fonz than The Fonz?
A little girl today walking down the street, going to Lydia's Italian restaurant, stopped me and went, "You're on Parks and Rec." I went, "Yes, I am." You know, other people say, "Oh my goodness, I love Royal Pains," or Arrested Development. And, you know, the movie that gets mentioned the most besides Waterboy, Scream, and Night Shift.
Great movie. All great movies. How did you end up being cast as Fonzie?
I went to an audition, and I found out that I'm a character actor. I changed my voice, changed my body in the room, and 3 days later, they called me and said, "Would you like to play this character?" And I only had 6 lines. And honestly, I thought, I don't know if I want to be tied into a series. But I said yes. And I then had one of the most wonderful lives of all time because of it.
How's it going, guys?
Not so good, Fonz. We're not going to make it.
Well, how much more do you need?
Another 15 bucks.
All right, this is from the Fonz to you. A very happy Easter. All right, now listen up, girls. One time only. Line right up here, kiss the Fonz for a buck. Now that's a bargain at any price.
And you mentioned earlier having to deal with, you know, going through what a lot of actors, I assume, go through, where you have a tough time getting a role after doing a really, really memorable role. But you overcame that hurdle.
Again, Will, I wanted to find that small hole in the dike that was blocking me from acting in other parts because I was so well known as the Fonz. And I found it and started to produce, and then I directed, and then I acted again. And then in 1991, my acting career took off. But you cannot be beaten by what you see as a big trial. Do you know what I mean? There is a will, there is a way to jump over the hurdle and get to where you want to be, where I am right now at this moment on the radio with you.
I wanted to ask you about your family history. Your success certainly has brought to light the story of your parents, Ilse Anna Marie. And Harry, who survived the Holocaust by immigrating to the United States in 1939.
Right.
How important is it for you to speak about your Jewish upbringing and your identity?
Well, I love being Jewish. I'm proud of my Jewish heritage. I'm proud of the lesson of 5,000 years of people somewhere in the world trying to eradicate the Jewish world, and we're still here. Hebrew was hard for me. Being dyslexic, I had to learn my Haftorah, my part on for my bar mitzvah. I had to learn it phonetically. I cannot read Hebrew, you know. But where there's a will, there is a way.
Well, Henry Winkler, we're certainly glad that you've made it to Pittsburgh, that you were able to join us on the program, and we've been talking with actor, director, producer, and best-selling author Henry Winkler. Again, thanks so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
You know what? It is a pleasure to be here, and thank you, Pittsburgh, for all of your warmth.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.